needed.
Now our pastor, Lane Stockton.
Good evening. Good to see all of you back. Glad that you're here in the house of the Lord. You could be in a jailhouse somewhere. So thank you for being here. We could be starting a jailhouse ministry because of you right now. So thank you for being here. Our hospital ministry. So glad to see all of you back here tonight. Those that are traveling, be in prayer for them. Several families still traveling in, and some will be headed out again starting this week. So be in prayer for all those that are traveling. We will pick up in the book of Mark. We've been going through the book of Mark. We're in chapter 15, verse by verse. Chapter by chapter, we've been traveling through the book of Mark. Mark chapter 15 and verse number 16 tonight. Let's read down to verse 23 just to get started. Mark 16, down to verse number 23. In chapter 15 of the book of Mark. Here we go. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium, and they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and planted a crown of thorns and put it about his head, and began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him on the head with a reed, and spit upon him, bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrene, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him into the place Golgotha, which is, being interpreted, the place of the skull. And they gave him to drink, wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. We've come to the portion of Scripture here in the book of Mark where they begin to mock Jesus Christ as King. Of course, He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It just was not His time to show it at this point. He came at this point in His life, or His ministry was, to die on the cross of Calvary, to redeem us and atone us, that would believe in Him and make us part of His family. What is amazing here is they gave Him a purple robe and a crown, and they began to smite Him. They began to spit upon Him and kind of worship Him in a mockery type way. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked." They did not understand it because it was not yet written. But every knee will bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. But right now they're in a way of mocking and making fun of Him. But in by doing, they were being obedient to Scripture. Isn't that amazing? Because it was prophesied that this would happen. They were following through on what God said would happen. Look over in Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. Verse number 6. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 6. The Bible says this: "I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." That's what the Lord did for us. All this that we're seeing here take place tonight is the price the Lord paid for our sin. All as we begin to go through the Scripture, it was this and much, much more. We understand that as we study through the Scriptures, we will definitely see that. But as they mocked and made fun, verse 18, they began to salute him, "Hail, King of the Jews." One day, these very same people, they're going to realize, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Matter of fact, in this passage, if we was to read on, we probably won't get there tonight. One of the centurions, one of the upper echelon of the Roman military, said, "Surely, this is the Son of God." He recognized it there and then. I would to God that we all of our time as God's children and God's children would understand that He is Lord of Lords. Our actions don't make Him Lord of Lords. What we do or do not do does not make Him Lord of Lords. He simply is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We don't sit Him up. The power of God sits kings into places. God lifts people up, lifts them up, and puts them in places of power, in places of honor, and positions of authority. Not the opposite way. It seems though in our day and age which we live in today that we worship more the creature over the Creator. It should be the opposite way. For He is worthy. I mean, all things was created by God and for His pleasure. And everything that was put into place was put into place by God so that He could enjoy fellowship with mankind and enjoy men and women and children that would recognize Him as Lord of Lords. Not just with their lips, because He said they speak with their lips, but their hearts far, far from Him. He wants to see it in our lives. He wants to see it in our everyday conversations as we yield and submit and follow through on being obedient to the Word of God and the Scriptures and the precepts of the Bible. And we live as God set forth the plan for us to live. And when we do that, we are saying, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." You heard Paul there in the book of Acts. He said, "Why are you kicking against the pricks?" Paul, why? And then finally, you know, a submission to the fact and realizing and understanding who he was dealing with, what he was dealing with there in that situation, gave over his life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, we know a complete change took place in the life of Saul, and he became Paul, the great man of God. And he bore in his body the marks of the persecution of the Lord Jesus Christ because of yielding to the fact that he had a new Lord, and he wasn't it. It was the Lord above there. So these guys here, well, they were making fun. Matter of fact, what's funny about this whole passage is we know through study that the Jewish people hated the Roman rule. But I want you to notice something here. Look in John chapter number 19. The Gospel of John chapter 19. I want you to notice the wording that they used. Look in verse number 12. They wanted a king. They wanted a real king that would sit on the throne, that would run out the Romans and their rule and sit Jerusalem back up as the capital and rule and reign over the nation of Israel. But when it came time to get rid of Jesus, they were willing to just look the other way and turn their eyes the other way and to accept Caesar as their king. Look what it says here in John chapter 19, verse 12. "And from this forth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in the place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover. Behold, the sixth hour, and saith unto the Jews, Behold, your king. Verse 15. But they cried out, Away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto him, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. You see the attitude? I mean, this is amazing. When you know and study the history of Israel, and you study the fact that they despised the Roman government, despised Caesar as himself, did not like Pilate or any of the governors that would sit over them, and then all of a sudden to get rid of Jesus. We have one king, Caesar. You remember, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. This is the attitude of, this is, when you have such an attitude as this, to get rid of the Lord Jesus Christ and to think you're going to just completely extinguish him out of society, dear friend, your heart is very hard. Very hard. Have you ever been that way as a backslidden Christian? Or you didn't want to be around God's people? You didn't want to hear a God? Listen. You could be a Gaither Inspiration fanatic and didn't want to hear it. Have you turned the radio on and 91.3 came through? Bam, you turned it off. You did not want anything to do with God. Nothing to do with the things of God. I've been there. I was backslidden in my early marital life and living as though I was not married and living in a way that was not right by my wife. And finally, my pastor told my wife, why don't you just pack, this is the best thing for you. Pack up everything you got and go home. And wake his, and she, how can I say that without making, wake his hind end up. Came home and there was nobody at home. Nothing in there. Got looking around, like, what in the world's going on? My pastor came and knocked on the door. And when he came and I saw who it was, I closed the door in my pastor's face. What a shame. You know why? I was just like these guys. This is what sin does to you. This is exactly what sin will do. This is the hatred for Christ and His love for mankind. I mean, be honest with me. We've read the book. We understand. We're not there. We see the goodness that Christ brought to mankind. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. If there were some of these so-called faith healers right now, dear friend, all of them that call themselves faith healers, if they would prop themselves up down there at Florida Hospital, and walk through those hospitals, and they would get those sick children up out of their bed, heal their cancer. Those people who had heart problems and needing heart transplants and lung diseases and so forth, so on. Cripples, that's a worker that has fallen off a truck, broke his back, can't walk. He's sitting there and he says, up with you and get up and walk different. I'm going to tell you this, I would be the first one down there buying him a meal. Every day. Every day. But that's not how it works. That is not how it works. It doesn't work like that at all. But Jesus healed the sick, lame, blind, lepers, raised dead, put homes back together, fed multitudes, countless and countless of things. I mean, lunatics, demon-possessed people, made them right in their mind. I mean, if they go down the parkway and clean all that parkway up out there and get those people in their right minds, dear friend, I'd get on board and I'd help them. But we see, they saw all the good that Jesus did. The problem was, Jesus messed with their religion. Jesus touched their pocket. You remember when he went to the temple, not once but twice? Overturned the money changers? Got upset? He got to touching the money. Got to getting where they lived. Where your treasures is, there's your heart. Their heart wasn't about the thing of God. Their heart was the fact they wanted to make sure what they were overseeing was kept intact like they desired, not how God desired. And they went to the lengths. We don't have no other king save Caesar. Right. He was there. As soon as they left that conversation, they were probably going to a political meeting, remember, with the zealots, and meeting with them and said, listen, y'all got to overthrow this here. This Caesar's got to go. He's got to go. Verse 20 through 23, they led Jesus like a criminal. Joined him. Thief on one side, thief on the other side. Look over in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse number 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Dear friend, the cross that we have to carry is not the same cross that Simon had to carry. I often wondered, and I thought about this whole passage, Brother Jim. Pilate, I find no fault in him. But we're going to crucify him anyway. He's condemned. The whole purpose of the cross was to show forth the justice system and take care of the criminal. And the guilty would be responsible for carrying the cross. And we notice here that Jesus, you think Jesus couldn't have carried this cross differently? I'll tell you, with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, I believe Jesus could have carried that cross like Samson carried those gates. Back in Judges. And carried 1,000 pounds of weights and carried them. Why do you believe? Because he was God. He's done endure too much. I believe personally the reason he fell here, because he was not going up that hill, because he was not the one guilty. Man was guilty. And Simon, the Cyrene, father of Alexander Rufus, hey, carry that cross! Because man was guilty. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. But he wasn't the guilty one. He bore our sins upon him. There outside of Jerusalem upon a hill, they say it's a hill that almost looks like a skull. I've never been to Israel at all, so I don't know. I've never been to this part, but I've read books and have studied. They say that this here, this hill, Golgotha, which is interpreted as we read, the place of the skull is there. It says it looks just like a skull if you was to see it in the shadows and look at it. Have you ever been riding down the road, you're looking at the clouds and with your kids or with somebody else? I have to admit this. I do this even as by myself. I try to find little bears up in the clouds. Try to see deer. You see those things in the clouds. You've gone out to the west, the mountains over there. They don't have trees on just big old hills and stuff. And you can see shapes in your mind. You say, well, that looks like this or that looks like that. I think as people walk past, they would see that. And they'd see that skull. And the Romans said, that's a good place to put criminals to death. Up on that hill so everybody could see. I remember years ago in the county seat of Magnolia, Mississippi, there was the county seat, and they still had the sitting and the sites there at the county seat where they had public hangings. The criminals would be hung outside. They had it right there so everybody could come and to see, so they could take care of crime. And as you said, and they wanted it exposed, but I noticed that it was outside of the camp again. Compliment Scripture, because the prophecy said he'd be outside, and so forth. And as we look on it and see it, at verse 23, they offer Christ a drink there. The drink was there of wine and myrrh. And verse 23, if you would look at there back in Mark, and you notice that he rejected it. Mark 15:23. and took a cup, no, that's 14, Mark 15, 23, and they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. They was trying to kind of numb the effects of the pain of the crucifixion, but Jesus wanted to endure everything he was going through, I believe, with the full senses in his mind. Because he wanted, he had to partake of the whole process. Not for his sake. Again, being on that cross did not make him Lord. He was Lord ever before he went on that cross. He had to go on that cross because of you and because of me and because of the world and the sin of mankind. Now this is what our Lord and Savior went through. What was kind of unique to me, Brother Jim, I didn't even see this until tonight as I was reading again over through the passage. And I want to study this out a little bit more. But you notice here, back over in our text as we read, verse number 17, and they clothe him with purple. They plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and began to salute, Hail, King of the Jews. They smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit upon him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. Verse 20, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him. Now, of course, we know that he was beat. He was scourged. I don't know what was left of the clothes, but there had to be some worth to it, because as we get to the next portions of Scripture, we won't look at it tonight, I don't think, because I don't think we have time. Maybe we'll look at a little bit of it. They parted his garments. They cast lots for who would take his clothes. That's what the Scripture says. The purple, they took off of him, the purple, put his clothes back on him. Then that's how he ended up naked upon the cross for you and I in shame. For years, I don't know, it just didn't click with me or something. I thought maybe, you know, right then and there, they took the purple off and gambled for it. But it says here, they put his clothes back upon him and led him on. And of course, we will see as we read on, past 23, verse 24, actually, if you look, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them. What every man should take, he left our Lord Jesus there naked upon the cross of Calvary. That just stuck out to me. I never picked up on that before. Nothing significant about it. Doesn't change the fact he was crucified for you and I. But just something that just like encourages you. Don't matter how much you read, or how many times you read the crucifix story, there's always something new there. Always something new that just grabs your attention. Perhaps it's the day you had, or the events that just took place in your life. I don't know. Maybe what caught my mind is the emphasis and the struggle I had two weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when we were studying the young man that followed along with a tablecloth on him. And he was left naked. Perhaps that, in my reading, stuck into it. Said, wow, look, they put his clothes back on him. And I thought about it, you know, why in the world would they cast lots for his clothes? You know, that portion, I'm still a little bit just looking through it, trying to figure it out. Doesn't mean anything to me. It's not that it's unimportant or it's great importance. It's just something that caught my attention. But as you read and you study, those are the things that grabs your attention that helps you to want to meditate upon the Word of God. Hey, let me say it like this. Keep the Word of God fresh to you. When something grabs your attention like that, make note of it. Go back and study. You know what? When I get done looking at this and following through this and chasing down through the other Gospels, it may not even have no other conclusion to it other to the fact that they just took the purple off, put his clothes back on. But it will lead me to some other point in the Bible where God wants to show me something that will help me at that very... That's how God works. He does. He takes little things like this that stick out to us. And it shows us, you know, as he used the human writers in the Word of God how different they were. I mean, think about Hosea as he wrote down the book of Hosea. Do you know anything about Hosea? Think about Nehemiah, King David, all the Psalms. You know, how different as he wrote Isaiah, great prophet Isaiah, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke, the great physician. Studying Luke and seeing the detail of the crucifixion is great in Luke. I mean, he goes into some great detail. Same, you know, and then Mark. We've studied the Mark. We've seen the servant. Jesus the servant. I mean, it's just amazing there. Now, next week, when we start verse 24, this event is the what is called the third hour of the day, or 9 a.m. And we will start there in verse number 24 where they parted the garments. I don't want to go into there because it's going to take a little bit to go through that 1 hour. There's a lot in that hour, in the third hour. Then it mentions the sixth hour in verse number 33. There's only a little bit there, so we can go through there real quick. But the third hour, a lot happens. A lot happens during that hour that we need to take note on. And I don't think 15 minutes will do us any justice on that. And then verses 34 through 41 are the ninth hour. And again, it goes into some great detail. And we got other scriptures that we can look into that and see a lot there. But that little portion there just was something that just kind of just like popped me there and said, look, his own clothes. Then you think about the resurrection. His old Joseph of Arimathea come by. Faithful servant of God. Clothed him as quick as he could to get him prepared for burial because the Passover was at hand. And when he was raised again, his old gray clothes was there. The napkin folded up over there. Nothing could hold him. That was our Lord and our Savior. Jesus Christ. Crucify him! Crucify him! There between two thieves. In Isaiah 53, we'll see this next week. Isaiah 53, it says that he took portion with the transgressors. He was there between the transgressors, those two thieves. Actually, as we look at it, you'll see at one point both thieves kind of got at him. One come to his senses. Have you ever done that? Husband and wife going at each other, and one of them comes to their senses, and the other one stays mad for three more days? Now, y'all never had that problem. Y'all got perfect marriages. Lord of Lords, King of Kings, crucified, left to hang naked on the cross of Calvary for you and I. That we can enjoy eternal life. Well, if you think about the crucifixion, it ought to put joy in your heart to know that you and I did not have to pay that price. It was paid for us that we can enjoy eternal life. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you for the word that we went into and singing. I'd ask you, Lord, to bless as we go our way. Bless choir practice tonight after church. Lord, thank you for the meeting we had as a church family, the volunteer workers that work and labor here at the church. Lord, nothing could be accomplished for you here if it was left up to one or two people. Thank you, Lord, for such a faithful group of workers. Continue, Lord, to bless us as we study your word. Give wisdom and understanding of the scriptures. Give us ability to have application and be able to apply them to our lives so that we're not just hearers of the word, but we are actual doers of your word. Lord, find us faithful, not for our sakes, but because of what Christ has done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.